Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich, winners of the Brokers Ireland Investment Excellence Award each year since 2014. Now that's reassuring.
Now, earlier this afternoon, OnPost released its financial results early after an article in today's Irish Daily Mail suggested the semi-state company was facing a dire financial situation. The figures showed that in 2024, OnPost's revenue exceeded 1 billion euro for the first time. The company said that revenue growth was driven by strong e-commerce parcel growth revenue of 12.6%, increased retail income growth of 3.8%, and a 6% growth in financial services. Those offset a 7.6% decline in traditional letter volumes in 2024. Later we're going to be speaking to Craig Hughes, who wrote the piece about OnPost in the Mail. But earlier I spoke to Michael Healy-Ray, Minister of State of the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine with responsibility for forests. And I spoke to him about the Climate Change Advisory Council's poor review of Ireland's forest strategy. Michael Healy-Ray is also a postmaster, so I first asked him what he knew about the Mail's claims in relation to OnPost finances.
Well, I think over the last number of years, OnPost has faced different challenges. The one thing that I'm very proud of in OnPost is that we have a full delivery service. In other words, not like parts of America and other parts of Europe, indeed, where they don't have an everyday delivery service. That's very, very important. And I'm so grateful to OnPost and to the people working in the service for providing that delivery every day, because whether it's in urban or rural Ireland, that connectivity, that nice gentleman or lady coming to your door delivering for OnPost, that's a very important social interaction, in particularly with older people. Our post offices themselves offer a myriad of services, which many are underutilised. And but as a postmaster myself, there are only two of us, I believe. I hope I'm not wrong in saying that. Robert Troy and myself. We're two postmasters, and I think we've been fighting the case for a long time with regard to post offices. But I believe this government is listening. OnPost is not necessarily saying, yes, we need money. We're getting 10 million a year with the last couple of years. We need that to go up to 15 million. But it is partially because it's a social service. But what we really, really want is to be given more business. In other words, the opportunities, I would call it the tools, to offer more services to the public so that more people, because you get paid on the footfall, you get paid per transaction. And I really think that now is the time for people of Ireland to say, well, we don't want to lose it, so we will use it.
Okay.
But with regard to Patrick O'Donovan, he brought, I believe, I didn't obviously see the report because I don't sit at Cabinet, but Patrick O'Donovan is an excellent minister, and he brought a document before government. And that's stating the facts as they are. But in the past, OnPost has
sorry,
faced
but just on
many,
that point,
many challenges.
Right. So Patrick O'Donovan had a very detailed document that he brought before Cabinet. I know that because an awful lot of those details are in the papers today. Very, very detailed aspects of the financial situation of OnPost and how it's been operating over the last year. It's clear that a leak came from within Cabinet, isn't it? Looking at what we see in the papers.
Well, again, I don't sit at Cabinet. I do not get to see Cabinet papers because, as you know, there's Cabinet confidentiality. How those would have come into the public domain, I do not know. I deal an awful lot, as you can imagine, with issues surrounding post offices, but I wouldn't be privy to any document or information like that. So where it came from, I truthfully don't know.
And would you have any speculation as to why someone would leak that sort of information, information that OnPost Chief Executive David McRedmond said was very damaging and absolutely wrong?
Well, look, he said that, and I've known knowledge of that. But I would say one thing about this whole, I always try and look at what good comes out of a situation. OnPost has faced challenges in the past. Whatever we do, we have to protect our everyday service.
Okay,
because
well,
I really
that's interesting
think that's so important.
Because it's reporting The Examiner today, which is another paper that had this story, as well as the Irish Daily Mail, and they different details. But one of the things they say is that the Department of Arts, Culture and Sport is considering a number of proposals, including a system whereby post will be delivered on fewer occasions per week and fewer distribution centres. So you'd be utterly opposed to that proposal then?
Well, I would, and I'd like to work within government in highlighting why we shouldn't go down that road. And why I really think that, and I'd rely on people like Patrick O'Donovan, who is an excellent, you know, common sense head in his shoulders, and he is a good placed person to recognise the fact that the delivery every day of services, and I know the stamps are expensive and that is a problem, but at the end of the day, having the service every day is so important.
Okay. And has anyone raised that with you internally, Michael? Has anyone come to you and said, this is something we're considering?
Well, I know for a fact that this has been debated with me, because since I came into the Dáil in the very first instance, it was always recognised that I was what we call a rural postmaster, and that I would know the situation on the ground. So even when I was in opposition, I would like to think I was having an input into the workings of government and how they were reacting to on post issues. But no, I really believe that from the Taoiseach down, that people really appreciate in government the importance of the network. But just coming back to the workings of government and recognising, like, as you know, OnPost is a partner with the Department of Social Protection. An awful lot of the payments through the department are actually paid out through our post offices. And I'd ask people who are getting social welfare payments, please think of using your post office and not necessarily always think about getting them paid directly into the bank. Because remember, you're sustaining both rural and urban jobs by using your post office. Okay. And I really think that is important.
The Examiner saying today that while profits were up in OnPost, there is an inexorable decline in overall mail numbers. I mean, is there a movement here, that a trend, a pattern that you're choosing to ignore because of all the reasons that you've outlined, which I understand, and it's so important in rural Ireland, but there's a pattern here, an inexorable decline.
No, I'm sorry, you're wrong about that. And will I tell you why, right? You are, of course, 100% right that mail, what you would call the letter you'd write and post, it is obvious to you and everybody else listening to this that the advent of emails has taken away a lot of that mail. But if you look at our roads, the vans that are on the road today, whether it's in urban or rural Ireland, they actually had to get bigger. The small little post van is nearly a thing of the past. Mm. It's a bigger van now. Why is it bigger? Because we have more items to deliver. So while you were saying mail, postal mail, letters has gone down, it has. But my good God, if you go into any DSO or district sorting office at say 6 or 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, you won't be able to stand inside there with boxes, parcels of all sizes. So, and the proof of the pudding is, are we delivering more mail than before? Of course we are, because we even have to bigger vans now than we had in the past.
Okay, I want to ask you about forestry then. You have responsibility, obviously, for forestry in your role as Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture. And today the Climate Change Advisory Council said that forestry could become a real emissions problem instead of an emissions solution if a serious amount of tree planting doesn't happen.
Well, you see, first of all, I have a problem with some of the things that were said. And again, it will relate to my last statement about stating facts. I've been accused, there was a press release put out yesterday, and to be honest with you, it's inaccurate. And I'm not saying it's a lie, but I'll put it to you this way, it's factually incorrect, because it states that I'm in favour of planting trees on deep peatland. Now, I never said any such thing. I challenge the people who are attributing that comment to me, I challenge them to prove where I said it, because I will tell you what I did say on Tuesday the 29th of April, addressing questions in the Shannon, and this is, I'm quoting myself, that is why I and my officials in the department will look at planting more peatland. Now, I want to just say one thing to you, Sarah. People that know about ground will know what I'm talking about. Deep peat is something that you could harvest, dry out and burn in a fire. That's deep peat. Mm. Now, peaty soils, it's a mixture of mineral soil and peat. And if you live forever, you couldn't burn that because you couldn't harvest it. It wouldn't dry out because there are too many minerals in it. Now, I'm very disappointed with some of the people, and I'll tell you out straight, and I can quote her, because the chairwoman of the Climate Change Advisory Council quoted me inaccurately. So I want to challenge her. What she said about me was wrong. It wasn't factual. It wasn't true.
Okay,
she's
so what
repeating
exactly
something
is,
that she heard
is,
somewhere else.
Is what that what you and your officials want to look at? You want to plant more peatland.
Yes.
What exactly is that then?
I'll tell you what I'm doing. There is ground that is not topsoil. It's a mixture of minerals and peat. And that's what I would call peaty type soils. And not only am I looking at it, I'm looking at this in a very scientific way, in that my department is investing 2.7 million on research into this area of forestry and peat soils.
Mm.
So I'm extremely worried about a person coming out and making a statement like this.
Well,
my door is always open.
Yeah, she's not the only one now, because I know leading climate scientist Professor Peter Thorne of Maynooth University, he's also chair of the council's adaptation committee, he said a forestry peatlands was, quote, environmental vandalism and, quote, about the dumbest thing we can do from the point of view of climate action.
Well, I'm sorry, if he's leading, he's not leading on facts. Because why am I spending 2.7 million euros on research which will prove that planting forestry on peaty type soils is actually good for the environment? So I challenge the good scientist any day of the week, because the people that are employed by me right now addressing this issue, we will be proving why it is good for the environment.
Okay, and can I just ask you very finally then, have you consulted with any climate experts on your plans to plant peaty land, as you call it, or peat land?
But sure, of course I am. Haven't I set up a group called PEATFOR? It's PEATFOR. Now, that's for the management of peatland forests for climate change, biodiversity and water quality. I'm dealing with these scientists in a very, very serious way, because I'm going to prove that people like the man that you mentioned a while ago are actually incorrect in trying to malign what I would call the forestry industry by saying things that are factually incorrect.
Okay.
And I'll challenge any person to stop saying that I said we should plant deep peat. I said we should look at planting on peaty type soils, and that's exactly what I'm doing, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Okay, we'll leave it there, and thank you very much for joining us in the programme this
evening. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay.
Thank you.
Minister Michael Healy-Ray speaking to me a little earlier. We have asked the Climate Change Advisory Council for a response to some of Michael Healy-Ray's comments there, and we'll bring that to you if we get it. Also mentioned during that interview, Professor Peter Thorne in climate change at Maynooth said in response to Michael Healy-Ray saying that his facts were not right, Peter Thorne said that his comments about environmental vandalism were about planting on deep peatland, particularly pristine peatlands. The council's report makes a clear distinction between pristine and deep peatlands, where the science is abundantly clear that planting forests is a disastrous outcome, and other frequently highly depleted peatland areas where further research is needed to lead to science-informed policy choices. The council explicitly welcomed ongoing DAFM-funded research to this end. As the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change made clear in its most recent assessments, peatlands store carbon for thousands of years and far more effectively than tree planting. Over the last century, we've made very bad decisions around peatland management and forestry. We absolutely need to avoid repeating or doubling down on these mistakes of the past.